Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have one of my favorite people on, somebody who I respect highly. And we've had a couple of shows which were just so chock full of information. I felt that I had to have her back so that we could go into the next level, because people need to understand our education system is what creates our society. And I don't know about people listening, but this Black Lives Matter movement, the Antifa movement, I wonder what these kids have been learning, that they really have no concept of life and of history. And it's all coming down to education. And as parents, it's important for parents to actually start to take the forefront. But you don't know what you don't know. That's why I'm having Miss Lynn Taylor come back on. She's also known as the Common Core Diva. And she's somebody who knows what she's talking about, because she's spending a huge amount of time reading legislation and understanding what we all need to know, and being able to distill it in a way that people understand it is an actual gift. So Lynn, I want to thank you so much for coming back on. It's such a pleasure to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Elena. It's wonderful to be back.
Oh, well, we're going to get right into it, because I don't know, this election cycle is, to me, it comes down to a couple of things: people who know their history and people who don't. And people who are willing to take the time to learn what they don't know, and people who just want to be led by emotion and being told what to do. So let's get into, you know, how do we get here? I remember, and we talked about this before, we had an education system, and I'm blessed that my parents put me in a really tiny private school. So maybe I'm a little bit different, but we learned about everything. No holds barred. There was question and answer. There was Socratic method. If you had an idea, nobody shut you down or tried to demonize you. And that's not what's going on now. To me, Common Core was the foundation of the beginning of this problem. Is that a way I should think about it?
Well, in some context, yes, and in some context, no. And I know later in the show, we probably want to get into what I mean by that. So if we want to circle back to that, we certainly can. But for our modern, where we are in 2020, let's just go ahead and say that, yes, that's the answer, that a lot of this is at the feet of Common Core. However, again, we'll circle back to the other part that most people don't know.
Well, what's going on? I mean, there's a lot of removal of teachers from the class, and it seems to be automated. It's certainly centralized, where the UN and other private organizations have taken the forefront in education. And is AI and this movement towards what we call techno-fascism, is it destroying critical thinking? And what is technofascism?
Okay, well, thank you for asking. AI is short for artificial intelligence, for those who do not know, and it is very much tied into what we're seeing as far as the destruction of our critical thinking. It's getting to where these algorithms that are built into these particular education programs and such are measuring the children's, not just their response time, but their biometrics, like, oh, you know, are they blinking too much? Are they fidgeting in their chair? What's their heart rate? Are their hands sweating? What's the eye movement? What's the heart rate? And while that doesn't sound like it's so bad, this is something that should not be going on. I mean, if you're going to be working on a computer, it should not be measuring your personal private information. And what these algorithms do for the AI, the artificial intelligence, is they tweak your answers to match the questions. So in other words, if you're not answering many questions right, it's going to start giving you easier and easier questions so that you'll start getting them all right. And then you get a false positive on that assessment that goes with it. So this is, again, showing that we're not seeing critical thinking introduced at the proper time. It used to be that critical thinking was when you were in the upper grades, more towards, you know, what we call junior high or high school, because everyone honored the fact that when you're in kindergarten, your critical thinking skills are not near as mature as they are when you're much older. So now where the techno-fascism comes in, and let me define what that is, first of all, before I tell you how it connects to AI, and that is that fascism, we know, is a one-party government with control to manipulate all the outcomes. And you and I've talked about government-prescribed outcomes for people before. Then the technology part weaves into this because we have so many of the big tech companies and the big corporations that are in on this because it's profit making for them. They'll treat the tech as a god and use it as a way to manipulate whoever is on the other end of that particular program or computer or service or school or wherever you may be in your community. And this is a political movement is what it is, Elena. It absolutely is.
You know, it's starting somebody in kindergarten to, I mean, it's not fair to the child. There's no way that the child can ever learn because it's not valid. I mean, your assessment isn't valid.
Right.
So is this one of these things where everybody's trying to make everybody equal when we're really all different? And so you can change standards based on race or sex or whatever to get to manipulate the outcome that you technically want. Is that something that can be used?
Oh, absolutely. And don't think it hasn't already started. It really has. And what we're seeing happen with this shift in AI and then this worship that computers and artificial intelligence and all this techno stuff is like a god, what it's doing is it's replacing how to think with what to think. So it's no wonder we're seeing some of the chaos that we're seeing, because this, again, ties back to many, many years of progressive destruction, not only in education, but across our nation.
Well, that's actually makes it a little bit easier to understand how this is all playing out.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking winners and losers. They're telling us that, you know, it's institutional racism. But one of the things that this AI that people don't tell you, it's programmed by people, by men. This is not some, you know, unthinking, everybody's good kind of thing. There's biases already programmed into it, isn't it?
As far as I know, now there is some branch of AI out there that can start with what we're talking about, and then it can start to take over by itself. And that, to me, is the scary part. That starts to go into what's called transhumanism. And that's where we take technology and we literally embed it in some body part of us. And it's supposed to control our emotions. It's supposed to control... supposedly, it's being sold as a way to improve people's health. You take someone who has asthma, they have one of these particular devices inserted, and of course, it's going to help regulate their breathing. But here's the scary part to me. If we can do that for good, and we know that a lot of these tech companies are not in it for good, they're in it for money only, money and control, then how much more damage could be done to someone with this transhumanism movement?
I think that's an excellent question. You know, we're going to take a break in about 30 seconds, but I want people to think about this. We're living in a time where the tech companies are wiping out any kind of dissent. And if they don't like it, you disappear from the internet. They are listening in on everything we do. If you have Alexa or Siri, this is not something that you have your own private little personal fiefdom anymore. You are being manipulated and controlled. And not only mentally now, but physically through the COVID situation. So let's take our first break. And I want to reinvestigate that when we come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor, Common Core Diva. And before the break, you were really breaking down what techno-fascism is. And, you know, Lynn, it always starts out as something helpful. You know, we're trying to make sure that you're healthy, your disease is under control. We're trying to cure cancer. It always seems to come in through this innocuous pathway. But you're helping people think ahead of the game. What's the worst thing that can happen? They can put things, embed things in us. They can make us semi-human and part computer, and they can monitor and manipulate and control us. That's seriously what I think that they would want. It's all about control, isn't it?
Right. Power, control, and money. That's it. The greed is just off the charts with this. I mean, the data mining that comes in through this artificial intelligence and this the technology part of it, especially in education. I think it was last month, I listened in on a UNESCO AI push for education, and I don't have the notes in front of me, but it was, I think, somewhere in the millions of personal private data points that UNESCO is wanting to push the envelope for AI in education. And this is going into your attitudes, your values, your beliefs. This is what the Common Core Machine, as I call it, calls social and emotional learning. Because again, as you just said, it's about control and manipulation.
How on earth can, first of all, an emotional social construct to make us, and it's what's going on now, people being driven by their emotions against reason, against their better judgment, against what, you know, they're working against themselves.
Right.
Is this all designed to keep, if you're fighting amongst yourself, you cannot pay attention to what's happening to all of us as a group. And this is a brilliant way to remove critical thinking, remove consciousness, if you want to be honest about it, because you're just being driven by will and someone's manipulating you to go from one extreme to the next, but not know why you're doing it. It reminds me of having a conversation with people who are somewhat on the left. It's all emotion driven. If you ask them to prove why they think something, either you get cursed out or they want to end the conversation, but there's no back and forth, no prove what you're saying, no theorem and proof. It sounds like that's what they're trying to do with education all the way through.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just in public schools either. We're seeing this show up in the charter schools. We're seeing it show up in homeschool. We're seeing it in hybrid school. We're seeing it in higher education, adult education. We're seeing it even show up in churches. We're seeing it in community groups, because one of the aspects, and I think we've talked about this before, that was built into the Every Student Succeeds Act was that your whole community, meaning your town, had to be in alignment with everything that was thrown into that particular law that included the social and emotional manipulation. Because if you didn't align, then how could the children succeed? How could they become educated? How could they become good citizens? How could they become employed? And if you look at the hidden agenda that's right in there, it's not about, will Johnny and Susie be able to read, to write, to think for themselves, to spell? It's going to be, can they be a good collectivism participant in their community? And that's part of the mindset behind this techno-fascism, is you have to do everything as a collective unit. There is no self. Self does not matter. Only what matters is what you can contribute to the team.
Well, that sounds like medicine, where it became part of a healthcare team, no longer doctor, nurse, everybody's just part of a whole.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily work. So, I mean, imagine that you're being educated not to know the difference. I mean, it seems when the generations change and the seniors leave the earth, there's not going to be anybody who understands what came before. You will get no argument because nobody knows what that there's an alternative.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of frightening. And it's, I don't know what to say about that, but we need to take back our power. You cannot let somebody rule you. That doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Well, let me interject one other aspect of this that we've not covered, Dr. Elena, and that is the target is not so much any certain group in America. It's the entire nation. And what it's also attacking with this AI, the techno-fascism, the way it's tied to the United Nations and the UNESCO, which is part of the United Nations as well, and using the social and emotional learning, is that it's going after the very foundations of our nation, which were based on freedom, liberty, justice. Now, not what we're seeing as justice today, but what real justice is supposed to be. And this is going after especially our First Amendment, which is our right to free speech. And if you remove the right to free thinking and free speech, you are a doomed society.
Well, we're seeing that now.
Right.
You're being erased if you mentioned anything that's outside of the what's perceived to be, against what the society wants you to think, whether that's against vaccine, against COVID, against wearing masks, et cetera. But let me jump back to what you're saying about education and this social emotional learning.
Okay.
Does that also mean that someone is deciding for you what your state as an adult will be, whether you'll be a doctor, whether you'll be an artist? It's going to decide for you what your future is. You don't get to decide that. Is that also what you like Brave New World, essentially?
Right. And we've discussed this before. That is part of the goal for the social and emotional learning. The other part that you were mentioning about, you know, pigeonholing you pretty much for what you're going to do for the rest of your life is the other side of Common Core. And that would be the career tech education, the STEM, which is the science, technology, engineering, and math. And we know that that was a sales tool for the United Nations so that we could see America change from the inside out. And education was chosen as the chief change agent for all this change because they knew if they could grab minds at whatever age, whatever education choice you're in, and especially from a community aspect, then they knew they were going to be successful. See, a terrible amount of psychological warfare has been embedded in our nation and is now coming to the full surface, that how it's being used against us. And we're seeing this play out, especially in the reaction that we've seen to the COVID crisis.
I think so. I think you're right. And, you know, not only, well, for me, it's looking at how the Black Lives Matter movement is peeling off Black people, Black Americans, as if we're the only group. Every time there's some sort of emotional psyop, it seems to attack Black people and using slavery and racism as the fulcrum to hit an emotional trigger that makes people work against themselves. That's what it seems to me. And 1619 Project, I noticed that the president is getting rid of that module within education and also in government programs and how the government workers are indoctrinated. Is that an example of usurping history just to drive people into an emotional cube so that they have one frame of reference instead of the truth? It's already designed to make you feel some sort of way.
I believe so. And here's something I'd like to point out. The president has zero constitutional authority to do anything in education. That is so far beyond his power. That is an abuse of power. Now, the Project 1619, the Black Lives Matter, the Antifa, the Occupy Wall Street, those all can be traced back to the same group of people, believe it or not, and they are the ones who are supposed to be behind what was the siege on the White House, I believe it was, that was supposed to start in September and go all the way through to the election. And I've written on that as well. And here's the thing that ties them all together. And that's what's called the Noahide Laws. And we can get into that now or we can wait till later. It doesn't matter to me. But it's very interesting that we're seeing this degradation. And you're right. If it's a psyops, we're going to attach to it. We're going to milk it for all it's worth. And we're going to divide people. We're going to see people turn on each other. And that's exactly right. It's controlled opposition is what it is.
Well, what is the Noah Hyde Law so people can look, can know what that is?
Okay. Well, very briefly, I've done about three different articles and at least three different interviews on the Noah Hyde Laws. And what they are was they were a set of laws that are anti-God, anti-America, anti-people, really. And what they do is they were, they were created by the Pharisees way back when. And every one of the laws is all about control. Okay, the first one doesn't sound so bad. It's like, you know, you're not going to take the name of the Lord in vain. Well, that's one of our Ten Commandments. But what this particular version is that if we, and this is going after our First Amendment as well, Elena, and that is, let's say we are professing Christians and we go outside and we say, you know, praise be to Jesus God. Well, if someone's listening, especially with all this 5G and AI that's supposed to be watching everything we do, the powers that be can say that I'm blaspheming because I'm not using the accepted current God of whomever. But see, that's the thing. We were based on a Christian Bible. We were based on the fact that it was the God-given rights that we were given and that man was not supposed to supersede those. And that's what these particular Noahide laws do. Now, our country has been under the influence of these Noahide laws since President Jimmy Carter. And they usurp the Constitution and they have so permeated our culture because they're based on perversion. I mean, in one of the other laws, it says you're not supposed to have sex with children. But here's the caveat. That doesn't sound so bad, but look at the rate of pedophilia. It's off the charts. What these are based on is a Talmud that is just absolutely filled with perversion. So while it says you can't have sex with children, it's only certain types of children. The rest of them are open and available. Now, how twisted is that? But this was what our government said we're going to use as the basis for our nation. These are such ancient laws and such godly laws, and they're so not. And this is what is driving the attitudes and the values and the beliefs that we're seeing.
Well, it's also you're not supposed to worship a false idol, right? And we're seeing that throughout the celebrity culture and these influencers. And they're literally getting on TV and telling us what we're supposed to do and how bad we are because we don't want to listen to them. So you're right. It's almost duplicitous is what it is.
Well, it absolutely is. And George Bush the first made this particular set of laws into public law with let's see, it's public law 102-14. And if people want to find out more about the Noahide laws, it's on my blog. That's www.commoncorediva.com. And just type in Noahide and you'll get plenty of links to the articles and I lay them out for you. And you can listen to the archived interviews on those as well.
Well, I think people definitely need to do that because it's about empowerment. Don't, you know, you need to do your research and we need to actually start aggressively being, you know, with intention, taking our power back. I can tell you, Lynn can tell you, but it really is up to the individual. We've done our research. It's time for everybody to also work on their own behalf. On that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're speaking with Miss Lynn Taylor, Common Core Diva. She has a website, commoncorediva.com. I think you also have a Twitter at Common Core Diva and Facebook by the same name. You know, Lynn, I don't think people knew this. This is something that, you know, people's minds don't work in this duplicitous way. You know, we all have a sense of what's right and wrong. And, you know, this reminds me of the California law that just, I don't know if it's been signed, but it was passed by their legislator that it won't, you won't be called a pedophile if you have sex with someone within 10 years of your age. That is so sick. And I don't know if it's been signed yet, but this is an example of what you just described. It's wrong. But they're trying to make, it's like moral relativism. That's what it sounds like. Which is weird.
And that's pretty much the best way to describe them in less than five words as far as these Noahide laws. They especially are trying to teach. Now there's a group out of New York called Moment of Silence, and this is this is a group of radical Jewish people. It's not that I'm anti-Jewish, okay? There are many, many Jews who just want to do their thing and be left alone. But this Noahide is based in the radicalism and Lubavitch movement, Jewish sect that wants to take and convert everyone back to the Noahide laws. So this particular Moment of Silence group has infiltrated education and is actively trying to teach children that their self is all powerful, that they are holy amongst themselves, that we don't need a God as a creator, and that we are to avoid all negative emotions because it stunts their growth. Well, now here's something. We were created in God's image, and God had righteous anger. God got upset. He would cry. He would have the negative emotions, but he didn't sin because of those negative emotions. And I'm not saying that we're all God, because we're certainly not. But if we start teaching children to shut down part of their emotional system, Dr. Elena, I'm sure you can probably testify much more than I could on the harm physically, mentally, and emotionally that gives children.
I absolutely agree with that. Not only children, but adults.
Right.
And we wonder why we're so emotionally bereft in the country and how there's so many people on these antipsychotic, antidepressant, anti-anxiety. There's something it's not jibing with what makes us human. We're being thwarted, and it's showing up in weird ways. And ultimately, there's only so far we can go, in my opinion, where people have to start thinking outside the box and rebelling. How can you be on this? I mean, as a doctor, I'm seeing people walk in with bags of medication, but they're sicker. Not, they're not better. So this is not the way that we should be going. I mean, there's something that I've heard about, something called a fourth industrial revolution, and I'm not sure I understand it. What is that exactly?
Okay, well, that's going to be your artificial intelligence, your techno-fascism. This fourth industrial revolution is designed so that you don't have to think about anything. The computer systems control your every move, track your every move through the blockchain identities and the bitcoins and all these supposed dossiers that the computer will build on you. And basically what it's going to do for us, Elena, is it's going to suck our lives of physical activity out and replace it with everything that's lived through the computer.
All virtual, you mean?
Right.
So is this COVID lockdown, is it a dry run for what they want to do to us? Because people aren't living their lives.
It's interesting you would put it that way, because I think that question has been posed before, and I do believe that there's strong evidence out there that could absolutely say, yes, this is. We've seen in many locations across the nation that while people have been sequestered in their homes, that companies are rolling out 5G towers left and right. And if we study the impacts of how harmful the 5G is on the physical body, never mind what it does to the brain waves that we all have, it's really shocking.
Mm-hmm. It is shocking. And it also gives them a chance to put a lot of things into play, like you described, healthcare and well-being, all of this telemedicine that's been rolled out as if it's equal to going to see the physician or the healthcare practitioner. It's not. It's in my opinion, a direct connection to the pharmacy, because everybody's getting a prescription written without being seen. No, nothing's being really treated. It's just being managed. And if you get used to that, I guess AI becomes, you're desensitized in some sense.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. Now, here's what's going to be something else that comes into play with COVID, and that is the biometrics. You know, we've all said we have to go get tested, and they have to swab you, and then they have to take a little bit of your blood. Now, supposedly with the Operation Warp Speed, where they're rushing through for a COVID vaccine and will employ the military to make sure that it's distributed throughout America, one of the things that has been reported, and of course, people need to, you know, do their research on this as well, is that there will be chips that are inserted in these vaccines. And when, of course, you take the vaccine, you get this little chip. Now, some people are saying it's the mark of the beast. Some of them are saying, no, this is part of the fourth industrial revolution. All I know is that anytime you insert foreign bodies like chips or things like that in your body doesn't understand what's going on, and it can cause serious health problems. But what we're going to see is the fact of, in the name of, are you safe to be around, tracking, and the tracking will tie into the biometrics. And if there's not biometric material on you, you cannot later be identified.
I think people, you're speaking absolute truth, and people need to go do their research. This is about tagging us in the sense that they'll know whether or not you've taken the vaccine, whether you can travel, whether you can, in some instances, even get a job, buy or sell. I mean, this is a cashless society, so it becomes like a grid. They know what you're thinking at all points of the day, what your health status is. I mean, and they're talking about giving you medication that they can track to throughout your system to make sure, one, you took it, and two, if it's doing the right thing. It sounds good in theory. If you have Alzheimer's, you don't know, et cetera. But that's not, it's never only what they say it's for. It's always extrapolated to the bigger picture for no other reason, for money, right? So the more people need it, the more money they can make.
It always goes back to money and control. It absolutely does. And, you know, you're absolutely right. You'll see the tip of the iceberg, and it's going to look lovely. But what we don't see, and this is what the government is banking on, this is why we have so many red herrings out there right now, is the mammoth part of the rest of that iceberg that once you get in the water, you're just up a creek without a paddle, because there's so much of that that you didn't see, that you didn't realize was out to harm you.
It's the critically thinking part. Everybody wants to feel good, and it sounds great. It's all new and newfangled, but there always is a hidden agenda. And I think you have to decide whether the benefits outweigh the risk. That's a personal choice. And I just don't subscribe to it being mandated. Nothing should be mandated. You should have the right to withdraw your consent. Otherwise, you're a slave. You know, I think that's the way I see it. And I know we're talking about a lot of topics, but I want to hit as many as I can. What's Project Best?
Oh, Project Best. That is something that was started back in the Reagan administration. And what it's short for, because it's all in capital letters, so we know anytime the government does that, that it is an acronym. So it stands for Better Education Skills Through Technology. And of course, this was done under President Reagan's push for public-private partnerships, and this would take and corporatize education. This is really coming into play right now under the COVID relief. This is why we're seeing so many of the schools go, hey, we're going online, or, you know, you're going to have to take school at home through the computer.
Wow. So again, everything is driven by fear, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
That's how they get you.
The more modern version of Project Best, and we need to give a really big thanks to Charlotte Iservite. She was in Reagan's administration at the Department of Education, and she was firsthand at seeing many of the things that are still with us that she was whistleblowing on then. And so her site is Deliberately Dumbing Down, I believe, is that particular website. But she was the one who called the whistle on this Project Best. Now, the modern day version of it is using Google. So when you see Google in the classroom, when you see anything that's tied to Google, and what they're doing is they're embedding these social and emotional wellness checks in through everything that these kids who are online taking classes. And again, this doesn't matter if you're just in K through 12 public school. If you're in any type of educational setting, no matter what your age is, this is coming at you.
So even the charter schools everywhere, you're saying?
Right. And there are a lot of parents who have turned to virtual learning for homeschooling. And what they're not understanding is that this is getting those children as well. Let's not mince words here. When Every Student Succeeds Act was passed and signed into law, everyone assumed that it was every student in public school is supposed to succeed. What the stark reality is that when the government says words like every and all, that's precisely what they mean. They are not going to stop at your door if you're in a charter school, or if you're in a homeschool, or if you're in a parochial school. They're going to keep right on coming. I mean, we're seeing this play out in Tennessee right now, because what happened was the Department of Education came up with, I think it was the Department of Education, or maybe it was a conjoint effort between the Department of Health and Human Services. These are at the state level. But one of them came out with this 40-page guidance document on how to treat post-COVID, especially for education. And it said across the board that every child in Tennessee from the ages of 5 to, I think it was 21, was supposed to be tested. Well, now, the citizens of Tennessee raised Cain, and rightly so, and in 3 days, that toolkit was taken down. The department swears to this day, oh, they didn't mean anybody but public schoolers. And there have been documents that have surfaced, Dr. Elena, that have shown the Department of Education in Tennessee is lying through their teeth. They were going for all the children. They just didn't want people to know that's what they were doing.
You just made two statements that are really key that parents need to know. The power that you have as a parent when you, you know, speak your mind and protect your child, and the fact that they'll back down because they know they're wrong. You know, we're the government. You know, they're supposed to be working for us, and we allow them way too much power. On that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor. You know, I want to just briefly, because I think we might have missed some of what you said about the Project BEST. Just explain just one time, because I think you went out for a little bit. What was the initial, what was the background for this? What is it trying to accomplish?
Oh, I'm so sorry if I was not able to be heard there. I don't know what happened. Let's see here. Project BEST, again, was started in Reagan's administration, and the whole goal behind Project BEST was to corporatize education at all levels, because technology had to become key. Somehow, corporations had to make money, and it wasn't enough just to leave education to the local and state levels. No, this is where the federal government has broken the Constitution by getting involved in education, and you certainly don't need fascist public-private partnerships conducting that.
No, I think it's funny. It's the same template that's being used in healthcare. It's all about the money. It's all about corporatization, and it's at the expense of the individual. I don't think there's anybody who can argue that at this point. With that in mind, this brings up for me what was said in New York with the mayor there talking about a partnership with Bill Gates and how that's going to transform their health, their education system. What, I mean, Bill Gates is everywhere. It's healthcare, now it's education. What's up with what he's doing and Elon Musk? I don't trust either one of them.
Right. And we should not trust either one of them, because what they are is they are techno-fascists, and they are part of the reason why we see such a huge growth in this particular, not only political party, because they are a political party, but we're seeing huge growth in support because everyone has become so computer dependent.
That computer, it's a double-edged sword. It's become a weapon. And it's being used against us, I think. Do you see it that way?
Oh, absolutely. And here we have Bill Gates, who has more money than sense, and he's not a licensed medical doctor, neither is Elon Musk, but you've got both of them. Gates is pushing the artificial intelligence, and Musk is pushing the transhumanism, and they're both connected because, of course, they run in the same circles. But we can also point to the fact of that Gates got in bed with the United Nations back in 2004, signed an agreement to make a one world curriculum. And that's, you know, fast forward to now, and that's where we are.
That's pretty frightening, because I don't think they have any, I don't think they have humanity at mind. I just saw a video with Musk talking about his chip that can be embedded. And, you know, he of course, it's always, again, about healthcare, helping people who can't, who have neurological issues, et cetera. But that chip potentially is a two-way communication.
Right.
So someone can be actually, you know, telling you what to do, literally speaking inside your head and driving you. I mean, do you really want to be a robot or a puppet? Does anybody really think that far ahead to know your freedom of choice, your will can be thwarted? I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. Why do people even come up with that?
Well, here's what is disturbing, is that if you ask a lot of people, would they do this, you're going to get a surprising number who are going to say, of course I would. I don't want to feel bad all the time. Hey, I mean, we've already got apps that can help us sleep. You put, it's a device you put around your neck, and it controls when you go to sleep. Now, that doesn't sound so bad, but again, what else could it do? If someone really wanted to hurt you, it wouldn't make you just go to sleep. It might choke you to death.
Just because it's it looks like it's high tech and sci-fi doesn't make it good. I mean, if anybody's watching any of these sci-fi series and movies, there usually is a bad outcome when that technology is involved. Now, let's move on and talk about S1363 and HR 2575. Sounds like they've got some more things coming down the pipe that we need to know about.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up. Yes, in the current Congress, and remember, this is both from the Republicans and the Democrats, and yes, both mainstream parties are willing and able participants not only in this AI push, but this fourth industrial revolution, because they all stand to gain something. And let's remember, this is an election year, and you're going to say just about anything to get yourself elected. Now, these all will tie into the USMCA, which is the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, and they all, believe it or not, Dr. Elena, tied to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So we have several bills, and I'm going to read them in a very brief description of each of them, because, again, we need to be contacting these people who represent us, and we need to inform them. They need to be scared of us. See, they're not scared of us. That's why they're getting away with so much. Okay, so S1363 and HR 2575, these will expand artificial intelligence at the federal level, and it will also expand government by creating a new AI Center for Excellence, where the nation will be pretty much subjected to all kinds of research. Okay. Then we have HR 827, which is Artificial Intelligence Jobs Act, because, of course, we need to have more jobs in America, and they need to be tied to artificial intelligence. We have HR 7096 and Senate 3890. This is the National AI Task Force. Now, what's troubling about these two, Dr. Elena, is that this is one of the only times I have seen in recent history where the federal government actually admits to you that they're going to use a bill to snoop on you way more than they already do. But let's stop and think about this. When the Patriot Act was created, that supposedly was supposed to snoop out terrorists. What it did was it put anyone who could be remotely considered enemy of the state, whether you said something bad or you were planning something bad, it puts you in one category. Then when we had the Foundations for Evidence Policy Making Act signed by President Trump, that made the Patriot Act look like a chump because it has so much more snooping on us, where we're going, what we're doing, who we're with, what are we saying, what are we drinking, who are we, you know, that sort of thing. So this particular task force is going to open up Pandora's box by using artificial intelligence to spy on us even more. So I would encourage people to go to congress.gov, look up these bill numbers and initials, and read for yourselves what these bills are going to do. Now, we're not through. We have H.R. 7339. We'll use non-government organizations to determine the artificial intelligence skill-based education. Now, they're doing this without the Department of Education. Now, as illegal and unconstitutional as the Department of Education is, you would at least think that something that relates to education would come from the Department of Education, but they're going to use non-government organizations like the National Science Foundation, which is all up in the Sustainable Development Goals, to determine what skill-based education Johnny and Susie are going to get. I think that's sick. Then we have this one that is HR 2613. This is artificial intelligence in finance. Now, this is where your blockchain identity will come in as well, okay? And what's scary about this one is that it has already passed through the House. It is now in the Senate. It's going to combine the techno-fascist movement with the artificial intelligence, and it's going to really incorporate what's known as geo-targeting. Now, supposedly, the geo-targeting is only supposed to be to ferret out bank criminals. But again, remember, anytime we see a bill that says there's going to be something supposedly good, what's the other side? So my question is, will it really stop just at bank criminals? How much more will we be geo-targeted?
Everything that the bills come out with, it's usually the opposite. I haven't seen one bill do what it says it's going to do. Affordable Care Act, unaffordable, et cetera. What can we do to help ourselves? We have a couple of minutes left, but I want to leave people with some optimism. We know what's coming at us now. What can we do to thwart it?
Okay. First of all, go to congress.gov. If you don't know who your representatives and your senators are, both at a federal level and a state level, you can find out your federal level representatives and senators at congress.gov. You can also access all these bills. What you want to look for once you get on a particular bill, let's say I'm going to go look up HR 7339. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to congress.gov. I'm going to use the search engine to put in HR 7339. I'm going to see the results. I'm going to click on it. And where it says to read the bill, like in a PDF form, that's where you want to go, because that's where you're going to get the most information out of that. Then what you want to do is you want to contact those representatives. If you don't know your state level senators and representatives, go to your state government website, look at them, ask them, do they know about these federal bills? Are they in support of them? Are they opposed to them? Then you need to be the one to tell them why they should be opposed to this, because none of this is constitutional. None of it is going to improve our lives. It's all going to control our lives. The second thing is, do not, in this election, do not, I underscore, vote party simply based on party. Vote per the Constitution, who stands for it. Know that you have over 1,500 presidential candidates, some of who are very much more qualified than the two front runners we have, because neither one of them are very constitutional at all. So know who is running. You can go to Ballotpedia, I believe it is, and you can look up the plethora of candidates that we have. Some are constitutionalists, some are libertarian, some are peer-out socialists. But the point of it is, we have way more choices for president than what we're being sold. So it's not just your president, though. It's your school board leaders. What do they know about all this? Do they know all about this? Then you be the one to bring it to the table. Because after all, this is filtering down into education that's going to impact your community and your children. And if you wait until it hits your front door, you've waited too late, and it will be no solution at that point.
It gives us a lot of ammunition that we can use to take our power back. It's not going to be passive. You have to make a choice. Like the Bible says, you don't get to say, I didn't know, because there's no excuse. How can people reach you?
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Lana. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you. I am so appreciative that your audience is gleaning so much from this. You can find out more about me at commoncorediva.com. I have a donate button, so if anyone would like to donate financially, because this is a labor of love that I do for my God and my country, then that's fine. If not, I certainly understand. I'll keep putting out that information anyway. You can find me on Twitter at Common Core Diva. You can find me on Facebook at Common Core Diva and U.S. Parent Call to Action. If you know of something that troubles you about education and you want to be able to send me information, if you can email me at commoncorediva@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I love having you on. I can't wait to have you back. You know you have an open invitation.
Oh, thank you so much, my dear.
And thanks, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.